Hello and welcome to the Poetry Exchange. I'm Michael Schaefer.
And I'm Fiona Bennett.
We've each got a cup of tea and some Jaffa cakes, and we've got a big, fat, famous poem for you this month. It's one we've had before. It's The Lake Isle of Innisfree by W.B. Yeats. And Fee, you were saying to me before we pressed record how interesting it is to have two different takes on the same poem.
Yes, it absolutely is. I mean, that's always the case, that it's so interesting to hear what the particular connection that our visitor has to the poem that they bring. And in the case of a big, fat, famous poem, it's kind of even more so, because you think, gosh, what is somebody going to make of this? When we were actually holding the exchange, you know, there's that moment when somebody comes in and you say, oh, have you brought your friend with you? And they say yes. And you say, have you got a copy for us to look at? And they pass it over. And you think, oh, it's, you know, because of course it's a big, fat, famous poem. So you think, oh, it's The Lake Isle of Innisfree. And some part of you, I have to confess, sort of thinks, I sort of know what's going to happen.
I know this one. Yeah, yeah.
And then suddenly the poem is returned to you with a whole new, fresh and unique understanding, which is very much what happened on this occasion.
So before we get into the episode, I just want to quickly say, for everyone that's been tweeting recently and sharing the episode, just a big thank you. It really helps us. And if you could leave us a review on iTunes and a rating, all of that stuff really helps as well.
You'll be hearing myself and Al talking about The Lake Isle of Innisfree by William Butler Yeats, the poem that's been a friend to Tom. So, have you brought a poem that's been a friend to you, Tom?
So I have, yeah.
Lovely, thank you. Oh, wow. Tom, would you mind reading it for us, just so that we can just hear it in the room?
The Lake Isle of Innisfree. I will arise and go now, and go to Innisfree, and a small cabin build there, of clay and wattles made. 9 bean rows will I have there, a hive for the honey bee, and live alone in the bee loud glade. And I shall have some peace there, for peace comes dropping slow, dropping from the veils of the morning to where the cricket sings. There midnight's all a glimmer, and noon a purple glow, and evening full of the linnet's wings. I will arise and go now, for always night and day, I hear lake water lapping with low sounds by the shore, while I stand on the roadway or on the pavement's grey, I hear it in the deep heart's core.
Oh, I think we all went there, didn't we? I think we all went there. That was just lovely.
Tom, could you tell us when you first met this friend of yours?
Yeah, it was fairly recently, actually. I'm Irish, obviously, and Yeats, you know, probably one of Ireland's most well-known poets. So Yeats was in, like, probably my life for as long as I can remember. And I have actually remember as a kid going to visit Yeats' grave, and we have photos, actually, of us kind of stood there. And he wrote this famous poem called Under the Shadow of Ben Bulbin about a year before he died, and he is buried there. But and I'm pretty sure I studied Yeats in school, but I was very disengaged from school, so Yeats is on the curriculum, and I'm sure I studied him, but I don't really remember, because at the time it would have been very boring to me. I was just like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
So but actually, was I just as I was preparing for this, I started thinking, so when did I discover this poem? And it was Easter 2 years ago. I was on holidays with the girl I was going out with at the time, Lisa. And we were on the west coast of Ireland, and we were in this B&B, and she was into poetry. She's into poetry, and somehow she had a book of Yeats or some poems with her anyway. And she was like, "Oh, somehow I forget how the conversation came out." She was like, "Are you familiar with this poem?" And I said, "No, not really." So she's like, "Do you want to hear it?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah, that'd be lovely." So she read it, and I was just like, I just there was something so beautiful in it, and I just ended up in tears. It just really moved me. I was like, what? So we read it a few times, and I couldn't explain why, because but it just really touched, you know, something in the deep heart's core. I really felt it. So that was my introduction to it, and a bit of me was like, God, wow. So this poem's probably been in my life, maybe not consciously, but it's been there. And I always thought of Yeats as kind of probably a bit boring, a bit stuffy, a bit of a cliche maybe. But no, like genuinely, from then it has become a friend, and I've learned a bit more about it. And I can say it's more about that in a while. But so that, yeah.
What a moment. Fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, I just want a little bit more of the scene. Were you in, in the B&B? Are you in the bedroom? Is there a view?
But yeah, so we're in this B&B. It's very kind of, not very modern B&B. So it's quite West Ireland, so on the edge of a place called Connemara, which is a beautiful part of Ireland. I remember when we got out of the car, we parked, just the thick smell of the Atlantic in the air. Which is like, oh, yes, this is why I've come west. But in the room, yeah, it was just a small, very basic room with the smallest ensuite toilet you could imagine. And I think I was just lying on the bed, kind of just thinking, yeah, not expecting, but, you know, I suppose I was feeling quite grateful that I was in a relationship with someone who appreciated something like this and offered. I thought, isn't this nice? I think she was sitting up and I was kind of lying back, just kind of thinking, oh, this is nice, and listening. And then just internally, it really touched me on a very, and I was just crying. I was just like, whoa. I was like, what? It was? So I read it then a few times, and she was just kind of, she was a bit surprised. She was like, you know, everyone kind of knows Yeats. So I guess if I'd always been introduced to it, maybe it never would have had that impact. If it was, if I had engaged with it in school, maybe. So I think for her it was a kind of obvious poem, if that makes sense. So she was a bit like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not sure, but this poem is really speaking to me. And so I don't know if that sets the scene, but in terms of the view
totally
and
does.
Stuff, right?
No, I mean, what's really interesting is that you mentioned the smell of the Atlantic and. Yeah. You know, in some way, you were in the nature of the poem.
You mentioned that, you know, when you smelt the Atlantic, you said, "Oh yeah, this is what I've come for." So, where had you been before? What had made you want to go there and smell the Atlantic? Had you had a bit of a yearning to get out to the?
Yeah, it's almost like what he's talking about, actually. And again, I can feel that feeling come up. It's like a homesickness, I think, and. Like, the West Coast of Ireland for me feels like a spiritual kind of home, and it's also a playful place. Like, you know, I've surfed there and I've spent a lot of my summer holidays there. And so there's something for me, I just feel very connected to the place. And living in Lancaster at the time and working in Manchester, I think. And so there's a lot of urban life, even though Lancaster's kind of rural. But just that Irish, that kind of Celtic energy. You know, I just connected with that and living away from Ireland now, I appreciate that much more. And I've since learned this is what Yeats's poem is actually about. He wrote it when he was living in London and he was really missing Ireland, which is fascinating that unconsciously I possibly connected with that.
Yeah.
So I think it was just like, yeah, West Coast just feels like the right place for me to be.
So does that kind of, I mean, to me, that definitely explains the kind of extent of your emotional response in that moment, in a way, and maybe on a level that you hadn't realised you were missing it that much, or
probably not. I think because at the same time, it feels like the right thing to be in England for now, but it doesn't mean I don't miss home. You know, both are true. I think, I think, you know, again, I read a bit about Yeats's life since, and for him, he was in London for his own reasons and. Innisfree, I'm assuming. I don't even know if it's a real place, to be honest, but if it is, or the idea of it is certainly, he's talking about the West Coast of Ireland.
So since that moment, that kind of amazing moment, did you kind of get a copy of it? Did you already have one? How has it been around for you since that moment?
So yeah, afterwards, I suppose it was a bit of exhilaration, and it actually as well. It was just like, could I discovered Yeats for the first time, 20 years maybe after I was first introduced to him, and I was like, wow, this guy's a good poet. but not because
I... Say, yeah, I can actually bear witness. Yeah. This guy brought me to tears.
Yeah. So there was initial exhilaration, kind of talking to my family a bit about it, and then I went and read it online a few times, and then printed it off and transcribed it a few times.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, just to write in my own hand, and I carried around a handwritten copy for a while.
Oh, nice.
And there's a park near me. It's like I suppose there's a call to nature, very much what Yeats is talking about here. So, and in Manchester, it's very urban, and it's part of what I like about it, but it's part of what I struggled with. And there's a park near at the end of the road where I go, something just for a walk in the evenings. And so I brought down the transcribed copy to the park sometimes. I just read it aloud sometimes in the park. So that's been quite a lovely experience, and just helped me kind of feel into what it brings up with new readings. And
great.
Yeah, just sitting there in the nature. And I had to actually Google what a linnet is. I hadn't a clue what a linnet is. Uh-huh. I assumed it was an insect, maybe, but it's a small bird. But but being in the park amongst the nature, and maybe watching sunsets, or the glows in the sky, and I can connect with a bit of this.
Can I ask you, Tom? Because you mentioned that you were sort of disengaged,
from
poetry in school. So what? How did you rediscover poetry? When did that happen?
Ooh. That's a good question. I worked in construction for a good few years, and after school, and I know I used to, I suppose it's poetry in a sense, but things used to just come to me kind of like, almost like limericks and stuff. And it mightn't have been technically correct, but sometimes I used to just write them on the wall, like walls of the toilets on the construction site. They're usually covered in scrawl, all sorts of scrawl. Some of it was poetic, but maybe not repeatable. So sometimes I just used to just do that. Or just sometimes something would come to me, I just put it on paper, and that would be just it. And then, sort of something there. And it was kind of a rhythm to them and stuff.
Yeah.
So there was that. And after that, then, when I was about 25, maybe, there was an Irish poet, he's still around, Brendan Kennelly, who my mum had been kind of interested in a bit. And I remember going to an event in Dublin. He was speaking at some event. And I was working in construction, but I was trying to get out of it. I think I need to find something a bit more, for me anyway, intellectually stimulating. And I remember seeing in the college that I was thinking of going to, there was an evening event, and it was Brendan Kennelly doing a reading. So I thought, okay, yeah, cool, rock along to that. And he read from some poems, and some of his stuff, like, it was really, it was quite, you know, I was really, wow, there's something to this. And I wouldn't have been able to articulate it or technically explain why, but it felt like, I was like, this guy's, got something about his work. And I just thought, right, if these kind of respected guys are doing this, it is kind of respected person that's doing this. There's something that gave me credence to validate that actually, oh, there's something to this. Maybe there's something to my little scrawls as well.
Is there any particular phrases with it, apart from that last line, which is so astonishing, or images in it that you particularly like?
One or two that kind of stand out. I think there's something about the first line, actually. I will arise and go now. I don't know, it's almost like, okay, I'm ready to make the journey now, or something, I think. Just the way he's put it is, almost straight away caught my attention. I was like, oh.
That decision as well, that kind of, I wonder if that's also great for you because it gives you that feeling that you could do that at any time you want to.
Yes, possibly,
You know, okay, I'm stuck here because I'm on this mission to be here and there's lots of good things about it, but any second of any day that I choose to go and smell the Atlantic, I'll just go.
Yeah.
If I need to, I can just go, you know.
Yeah, and like the I suppose choice is there. That, yeah, as you said, decision. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people talk about it, don't they? Oh, one day I'd like to. But he's doing it. He's
yes.
He said, "That's enough. I'm off."
Yeah. And I suppose it's I struggle. I don't like, I suppose, the line "live alone," because like I do like solitude, but I wouldn't like to live alone. Mm. That's the bit I would want differently. Mm. You know, maybe. Doesn't sound the same if you say live near a few people. But
I love that. Doesn't scan quite so well, does it?
No. But I think peace comes dropping slow is another line, because I think peace does come dropping slow sometimes. Mm. You know, in my experience, I guess, yeah, peace does come dropping slow. Peace isn't a fast process. Peace coming and. Depending on your situation, it requires work and effort and patience, and but it does come dropping slow. But I think it matches the experience. Yeah.
This is probably a really cheap, not gag, but I don't know. I just was really suddenly struck by you saying that you worked in construction, because I've had a slight. Something comes down in between me and this poem with this small cabin build there of clay and wattles made, because I'm not so good with the, you know, with the construction. Whereas for you, you know, this is going to be, you know, I'm going to make my. I don't know. Just wondered how that.
I think you've really tapped on something that I haven't realised. Like I have a kind of a fantasy about building a shed. Like in a place, like even like it is one of my how did I not make this link, but like I have like I would love how did I not make this? Like I would love to build a little place like that. How have I not made that link? I do not know. This is the joy of conversation, I guess. But that is a real desire I have. Yeah,
there's got to be some spot waiting for your cabin,
yeah,
somewhere within the smell of the Atlantic. That's my thought.
Yeah, maybe actually. Yeah.
There you go.
And then, you know, then while you're having to do whatever it is you're doing here,
yes,
you can know that your shed is ready for you.
The Lake Isle of Innisfree. I will arise and go now. And go to Innisfree, and a small cabin build there, of clay and wattles made. 9 bean rows will I have, a hive for the honey bee, and live alone in the bee-loud glade. And I shall have some peace there, for peace comes dropping slow, dropping from the veils of the morning to where the cricket sings. There, midnight's all a glimmer, and noon a purple glow, and evening full of the linnet's wings. I will arise and go now, for always, night and day, I hear lake water lapping with low sounds by the shore, while I stand on the roadway or on the pavement's grey. I hear it in the deep heart's core.
Would you have a beehive?
I went to a bee keeping talk recently.
Did you?
This is all just unfolding.
This is all happening.
Did you know?
I actually did, yeah.
That was Fiona Bennett with the reading at the end. Our thanks to Tom for allowing us to share this conversation with you, and to the good people of Home in Manchester for hosting us.
So we're going to take a short summer break. We'll be back in September. Yes, for next month, we all need to recharge our own batteries.
I'm going to find a bee-loud glade to lie in and hope that peace comes, dropping slow. If you did want to listen to the other conversation that we've had about the Lake Isle of Innisfree, you'll be able to find it in our archive. We must have about 25 episodes now. Yeah, there's an amazing collection now of poems and conversations. So if you are missing us over the summer, please feel free to look through those and enjoy them.
If instead of heading to a Be Loud Glade, Michael, you were going to dip into the Poetry Exchange archive for a bit of downtime with a poem, which one would you take with you?
There's a lot to choose from. My mind is going to Return by Cavafy. I just remember that being just a fantastic conversation and a brilliant poem, as well as Love by George Herbert and the conversation we had with Andrew Scott. What would yours be, Faye?
It would be the Derek Walcott episode from The Bounty. I mean, sometimes you can go to the sea and actually have that experience, and sometimes a poem can take you there, and that poem really does.
Yeah, good call.
So we hope you've enjoyed this month's episode, and we'll be back in September. So until then, thank you for listening.